This is a Baby Brunch podcast. Is there anything cuter than tiny little socks and teeny little hats? If you can't resist buying baby clothes, you'll find it even more tempting now because Pick and Pay Baby Club members get 3x smart shopper points on all baby products from Pick and Pay, including clothing. Send a free SMS with your smart shopper card number to 30651 to join today. This is a Baby Brunch podcast for our podcast series, for our parenting series. And today we are chatting to Janine. How are you?
I'm good.
I've known Janine for many, many years. She's an expert in the children's field of playing. So she does a lot of business in educate our children through play. But before we get started, this podcast is sponsored by Baby Bullet. The Baby Bullet is unique. It is the only blender on the market that's designed specifically for making healthy food for your toddler. It's simple to use and gorgeously designed, and it comes with everything you need to make and store a week's worth of all natural purees. Just add fresh fruit and vegetables. Janine, you're married, right?
Yes.
Tell me about your wedding day.
Well, it was one of the best days of my life.
Really?
Yes. Everything went wrong, and I absolutely loved it.
Oh, no. What do you mean? What do you mean everything went wrong?
The zip fell out of my dress.
Oh, no.
So I was nearly an hour late for my wedding, which led my bride to think that I wasn't showing up.
Oh, no.
So there were a lot of texts flying around trying to figure out who had a cell phone to tell her that I actually was coming. I was just getting sewn back into my dress. The night before the wedding, they broke into the baker's house and stole our wedding cake.
So, okay, wait. They stole the wedding cake?
They stole the wedding cake.
Did you find it again?
No, she had to bake us a scratch square, from scratch, a little square cake. So we didn't have the wedding cake we ordered, but it was fine. It went down well.
What do you do with a wedding cake when you steal it?
Well, they stole all the ladies' booze as well. So I think they just had a joy.
Maybe they were hungry.
They were hungry and, and thirsty.
Wedding cake and wine.
Yeah. So we had a lot of faux pas, but in the end, it turned out to be a magical day. And we really were blessed with so much love at the wedding. And yeah, really turned out to be everything we dreamed to be and more.
You married a woman?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, Sam and I met in high school. Initially, we didn't like each other at all. And I think that it was the attraction towards each other that scared us.
No, but that's not the first time that I hear that someone marries someone. I mean, when I met my husband, his hair was way too long. I was like, I'm not in. And his laugh was too loud. And now that same laugh, I think, is really adorable, you know. But at the time, I was like, you're kidding me, right? Come on. Okay, so you know each other from a while back?
Yeah, 21 years this year.
Oh, wow. That's a long time.
Yeah.
When did you know that you were in love?
We played a truth or dare game to kiss each other. And I think at that moment, we knew. We knew. There was always this energy between us, connecting us, and I think we knew instinctively, but we fought it, and after that kiss, we knew this was our journey.
One of the things that I've mentioned on one of these podcasts is that it's sometimes very hard as a woman and as a mom to understand everybody's normal.
Mm.
And I realized that I'm not the normal that other people usually want to experience. So when they look at my daughter's hair and they go, oh, so how do you comb her hair? And I say, with a comb. or I realize that I'm not the normal that people understand when they go, oh, man, your accent is so moy. You know, then I realize, oh, okay, I'm different. You know, I'm a little bit different than what people want to experience or have experienced before.
Mm.
When did you realize that you are perhaps different to other people? That one day you're going to, as a woman, marry a woman and that you fall in love with other women?
Late in life. I actually denied my feelings for a long time. Sam and I Sam gave me an ultimatum at one point and said that you're either going to come out of the closet or we're splitting up. And I hate that term, coming out the closet, because it feels like there's so much pressure to be somebody that you're just you. And eventually that pushed me to a point that I had to make a decision. And obviously I made the right decision because the moment that I made that decision and stopped caring about what everybody else thought my life should look like, I was happier, healthier, and amazed by how many people were like, oh, we're just so glad you're happy. Because so many people for so long just thought I was on my own. And yeah, so that was probably about 9 years ago, even though we've been together for 21 years.
What does that feeling of in the closet mean? I mean, I say this because as a woman who married a man and who is in love with a man, I remember being in high school and you admire the head girl, or you love her shiny hair because you think that she's really pretty and you want to be like her. And I'm wondering if there's anyone listening who feels that they are in the closet, or they are gay and they can't tell anyone, or that they're in love with another woman as a woman and they're not experiencing their full potential or experiencing life. What is that feeling of in the closet? What does it mean? What does it feel like?
You feel suffocated and alone and almost scared to have a deep conversation with anybody new, because what's if they ask, are you married? What's your husband's name? Because the moment that they are engaging in conversation with you and they see you're a female, they immediately refer to your spouse as being a male. And there were so many times where I would just let them continue and allow them to think what they were. But
why?
Because it was easier. It was easier than saying, I have a wife, and waiting for the reaction. Is it going to be acceptance? Is it going to be shock? Is it going to be disgust? You don't know what the other person is going to be. And eventually when I started saying, sorry, my wife, I used to actually get a kick out of people's reaction, because you just never knew what you were going to get. And it was more often than not, ah, what's her name? You know, and then I had to almost get over myself because I was prejudging those people, thinking, oh, they're automatically going to be hypocrites or this or that. And strangely enough, the older Afrikaans folk were the most accepting.
Sweet.
It was so sweet.
Saying this, that we all know Afrikaans people and we have family that are, and we generally find them a little bit more conservative. Let's just call a spade a spade.
Yeah.
Don't you get tired of those reactions, though?
Yes. I don't want to change GPs or gynies or anything like that, because every time I sit and fill the paperwork out, I'm coming out the closet again and again. That's how it feels. That's how it feels.
Because society asks for Mr. and Mrs.
Always, on all the forms.
There's
no
married.
Partner one, partner two, or spouse one, spouse two. So if it's mom and dad, even when you enroll your kids at creche.
Wow.
Parent, not parent one, parent two, mom, dad. And I have to scratch it out every time. Dad appears 6 to 7 times on a form, and I've got to scratch it out every time.
If we had to educate the system and say, okay, well, let's sort this out quickly, what would sit comfortably with you?
Parent one, parent two. Even registering your child's birth took me nearly 4 weeks.
You are kidding me.
Nearly 4 weeks of fighting and phone calls. And not just me. I have multiple friends that have had children, and it's the same spiel every time with the same people, the same people. So, yeah, you do feel at times discriminated upon. Eventually, we got our child's birth registered, but why did we have to go through almost 4 weeks of hell and begging and pleading and going to the top and being put on hold and standing in queues when you go down to the hospital foyer that's supposed to make it easy for you? I mean, I've also had a C-section. I'm also walking around in pain, but now I've got to go stand in queues to register.
You're also breastfeeding.
Yeah.
You're also a mom.
Exactly.
You're raising two beautiful babies, I have to say.
Thank you.
They're gorgeous. They really, really are. Please come for play dates.
I will.
Janine, I sympathize, and I also am very confused, because I've known you for so long, but I've actually never, I guess it's because it's not different for me. I've never even asked you these questions, because it's not even a thing. It's just like, ask your mom and your mama if you can come past or whatever. I don't, I don't understand all of it, but I want to talk about this because I think our parents need support. I think no matter who you are, you need to be able to ask questions or say to people, okay, but you're not alone, you know? Tell me about your pregnancies. Were they all full term?
Yes. Madison came on her due date, although I was absolutely convinced she was coming 4 weeks early.
She had really big babies, I have to say. I was envious because mine didn't stay on for too long.
Yeah. So Madison decided to stay in for the very last moment until we had to have an emergency C-section after 42 hours labor.
Yeah, we all have that.
And then Morgan, we decided, you know what? We're not going to do all these VBAC or whatever. I'm booking the date. I know what's going on and that's it. Okay. I'm going in and I had the most amazing gynae. He was so inclusive with Sam. And I loved being pregnant. I loved having babies. Mm. I'm glad we've stopped at 2 though.
You won't have another one.
Oh, hell no. I need to start at some point getting some sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I mean, with 2 years gap in between, you know, the one's just out of nappies and the other one's teething and, you know, you every day there's a new normal as they adapt and grow. And I'm just enjoying their personalities now. And yeah, so I always wanted 4 kids because Sam only does things in double digits. So it was either 2 or 4. but we've decided that 4's a little 8. Bit too adventurous for us. No. We'll stick with 2. We're happy with our girls.
What do we tell our children? I mean, what would you tell the girls growing up about where they come from? Because they didn't come from you and their mommy. They came from a special place or a different place or another place. How would you explain it to them?
Honestly, Madison at 4 has already started asking, why don't I have a daddy?
Right.
I really wish I had a daddy. And then we'd say, but you have a mommy and a mama. Mm. She says, yeah, but I'd like a daddy as well to play soccer with.
Okay.
So we showed her we can play soccer with her because I think there's a lot of gender stereotyping and we're not one of those feminists that stand and want to burn our bras to stand for our cause. We're just like girls and boys can both play soccer and boys can also do ballet. Mm. You know, you do what you love.
I must say you and your wife, you're very feminine mamas.
Yes.
You visit the hairdresser far too much. And from where I'm sitting, your fragrance is beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, and you look good. You look really, really good. Even after that little one of yours, you look fantastic.
Thank you.
So I guess there is a little bit of explaining to do.
There is. And we just believe, keep it honest. Our donor is confidential or, you know, so we have kept all the information. So she has all the family history.
Right.
She'll know exactly why we chose him, not just because of the height, because we tried to choose taller donors because we're short.
Is that like a thing? Do you go to the donor?
You go to the fertility specialist and they tell you what you like. And when we went, we actually felt like we were interrogated. When we left there, we were like, holy hell. Like we felt interrogated. Where did you study? Are you entrepreneurial? Mm. Are you this? Are you that? Blah, blah, blah. Here's a pack of stuff that meet the criteria that you indicated you wanted.
Wow.
Come back and tell us which ones you want. So, and we'll tell you yes or no.
Is it a catalog? Is it a book?
It's a selection process. You type in, are you looking for this color eyes, this height, this nationality, you know, blood types. That's the basic.
Once I want him to look like Ridge Forrester. What's that guy?
Hell no. So, yeah, we went through that. Then your criteria is narrowed down to your selection, and then you get the full packs. And then based on that, you do your selection.
But the babies look like you.
We've got very good DNA.
Nice.
Yeah.
How do you do you choose both the children from the same donor?
We did. There's a lot of discussion. Like we were like, why doesn't Sam carry one? Because that's a lot of question. Why did you carry both children?
Yeah.
Well, medically, Sam couldn't carry a child, but also she didn't want to. Mm. It wasn't her desire. It was my desire to be pregnant.
To have children, yeah.
But if you had to try to distinguish between parenting, there's no fiercer love than what she has for her daughters.
That's wonderful.
So, yeah, we chose very well, I think. our daughters have fierce personalities. Definitely not from me. But I, again, must say that I also don't believe that that's all medical. I believe that it's influence. Mm. You know, their mama has got a very strong will, very definite character of what's right and what's wrong. And I can see that coming through, you know, with the girls. Yeah, so they carry the same DNA, and that for us was important for a medical history. And also, you know, the donor, you know, when we chose the donor, there were so many traits that were reflective of our personalities.
Right.
And even the specialist said to us, we think you've chosen well, because they also get interviewed.
Right.
So they're not going to put us with a scientist and we're entrepreneurial, free spirited type of beings. Mm. So they paired us up very well. They also look at Sam's features. And they look at the donor's features so that our family looks more like, some people actually think that Sam is the biological DNA provider, because sometimes people can't tell that they're my girls until they're with me. And then they're like, okay, we understand.
I have to ask, but could they have other brothers and sisters, or do you buy the entire bank?
You can buy the entire bank, but then you will literally be bankrupt.
Right. Because you've got a really nice car, so you couldn't have bought her. She's got great shoes on.
So they could have a
brother and sister somewhere else.
But it is capped at 6 births per donor.
Okay.
So there will never be more than 6 from that donor, and there could also be less.
Is it expensive?
It's cheaper than adopting. We did try to go through the adoption route because we felt there's so many kids out there that needed love.
Yeah.
But the adoption route for gay couples is ridiculous. So we went to see a fertility specialist, and it cost us a third of the cost, which is sad, because we would be very happy to be parents with 2 little adopted children. But the journey was just too hard.
Mm. I've seen you operate as a mom, and I think you're very, very good. And I see how determined your eldest is, and I think she's going to be a future leader. I think she's going to be extremely strong-willed and probably very wealthy one day. What do you want to say to other couples who are in a same-sex partnership or marriage, or who's miskien is hulle baie bang, or hulle, like they just don't have anyone that they can talk to or reference other than this podcast that they're listening to? I don't want to call it advice. You know, I want to just say, what would you like to say to them?
Don't be afraid. You can have very, very well-balanced children. In fact, more balanced children because of the love, and because they know that they were so wanted that we went through scientific means to get them.
Wow.
It wasn't an oops. It wasn't an accident. There's no way that can happen. We wanted them with every fiber of our being. So don't be afraid.
What's it like having, because sometimes, sure, I think it would be nice to have another female in the house raising my kids, you know? What do you think that they are, other than the ones that I can think of, because I can think of a lot of benefits having 2 hands-on moms, right? Mm. What do you think are the benefits having 2 females raising children?
I think they get to see totally different women personalities and dynamics, and that we're all different. But there's a lot of nurturing and caring coming from both directions. I'm not saying that men aren't nurturing and caring, but females are just more intuitive when it comes to kids. So I think definitely lots and lots of love and affection, and women are strong. We're strong. And I think having those role models in their lives is giving them a good grounding.
We've spoken about the notion of parenting, being a mom, being in the closet, or being out. I don't know why they call it that, but anyway, being out of this virtual closet, getting married. What are some of the misconceptions about same-sex marriages or even partnerships that are out there that you've encountered? Do people say stuff to you openly, or do they have strong opinions directly aimed at you?
They are. I must be very honest with you. I've been fortunate not to have encountered a lot of it, but I have friends who have families who said, if you have a child, they will not be my grandchild because they will be plastic because they were not conceived the way God intended them.
I'm sorry.
And I just believe that, because I am Christian, we are a Christian family, that if God didn't intend for us to be able to procreate in other ways, he wouldn't have given us the ability as humans to find ways. So I personally haven't been the brunt or borne the brunt of a lot of those questions, but they are like, oh, you're a mom and you have a wife. And then, you know where that comes in? Who carried the baby and how did it work? And I have absolutely no reservations about sharing my story. I'm actually quite proud of it because I love my family. Mm. I love being a mom and a wife, even to a wife, you know?
Do you want people to ask that question?
Not always. Not always. Because it's kind of like saying, well, what position did you conceive your child in?
Sure.
It does feel like that, you know? So,
what would be the right thing? Like if people had to see you and your wife with your babies, is it a place for questioning or is it a shut up and continue shopping?
You know, Lana, I think it's a bit of a double-edged sword to answer that question because the only way people are going to become informed is if they ask questions.
But then a part of me thinks, I don't want to be the case study. Like go read a book or I don't know.
I think maybe in the right setting. In a setting where you're a bunch of moms chatting about, you know, struggles, life, challenges, that sort of thing.
On a Baby Brunch podcast.
Exactly. where you're there to share your story. But yeah, you know, you're standing in a shopping mall and you're having a casual conversation with a stranger and they're like, oh, how did you have a baby? You know, or you're pregnant and they're like, oh, is the dad tall? Yeah, the donor profile said 1.7 meters. So I think so. My wife's not. You know, it's right. Awkward. And also for you, if your children are with you, it becomes difficult because then they suddenly feel, why is this lady
asking? Why are they asking questions?
Exactly.
I think generally it's sometimes very hard when you have inquisitive people around you when you're pregnant, and especially if you're in the media like I am. People have all kinds of questions in front of our children. Do you know that I don't generally enjoy taking pictures with people when my children are with me because they do ask, why is the strange lady taking a picture of you? Because it's not considered normal for them. They don't understand why someone would want to come up to you and take a picture. It's almost like they ask for what, you know? I'm encouraged by how bold you are, how confident you are about something that could also be really hurtful for someone. I'm not talking about who you are, but talking and opening up about something that is not widely accepted. Like I say, and maybe I'm just too accepting of people, I don't always get it. I don't always get people's hang-ups about most things. But I hope that these conversations will help people understand or will help all of us what's acceptable and what is unacceptable, especially when it comes to talking or asking questions or what is said. What are your dreams for your children for the future?
That they will always know that they are enough and that they never need to be anybody but who they are. They don't need to fit in a box. They don't need to live their life to pleasing others on what the other person's acceptable norm is. And that they will be good people, kind people, and accepting people.
Well, you know what? Motherhood never came with a manual. And apparently there's books out there that now helps us in our marriages. I wonder if there's books on how to describe mine or how to help me along. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to share my story.
If you want to hear any of our other podcasts, babybrunch.co.za. This is a parenting podcast to just lend support and to help all of us understand what this is really about. Thanks, Shanine.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Is there anything cuter than tiny little socks and teeny little hats? If you can't resist buying baby clothes, you'll find it even more tempting now because Pick and Pay Baby Club members get 3x smart shopper points on all baby products from Pick and Pay, including clothing. Send a free SMS with your smart shopper card number to 30651 to join today.